right off the bat, right in the beginning, I sense something strange about this morning's gospel. Luke wrote, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." It wasn't what Herod was planning to do that was strange, because he or a member of his family had been threatening to do that ever since Jesus was a baby. It was who delivered the message that was so strange. The Pharisees, the very people who'd been trying to trip up Jesus, to trick him, to make him look foolish, were suddenly being friendly to him in their warning about what Herod was planning to do. Apparently, Jesus didn't think that the messengers or the message was that strange. He was used to such threats and knew that that fox Herod couldn't kill him. That was the fate that awaited him in Jerusalem, and he wasn't there yet. He still had work to do. I'm always amazed at how Jesus knew what that work was and was able to carry out his mission and ministry. It couldn't have been easy with all the pushback that he got. And think of all the times he was misunderstood, even by the ones, the people that knew him the best. Despite all that, he seemed to have few doubts, if any, about what he wanted to do or who he wanted to be when he grew up. I'm still trying to figure that out. Dr. Vic Malloy, who is our forum speaker today and will be for the next 2 weeks, will address that very issue and introduce the concept of elder, which is not the same as simply getting older. It means growing into our stage of our lives where we understand who we are and how what we do lays the groundwork for who we are becoming. It is a time in our lives when we see how all of our experiences have helped to shape and strengthen our faith, which we then can share with those in our family, our church, our community. Share it with those who haven't gotten to that age or stage of their lives yet. It's a whole new way, a healthy and exciting way of looking at aging. It seems to me that Jesus was an elder before he was even a teenager. He was, as we might say today, an old soul. In that he was wise beyond his years and had an uncanny understanding of human nature. Unfortunately, that's what caused him to get into so much trouble wherever he went, which might be why he never stayed in one place for long. He was basically a fugitive. He was always on the move, staying one step ahead of the civil and religious authorities. And now, we hear from Luke that Jesus was on the move again, this time to Jerusalem. His journey there is what gives these strangely disjointed 5 verses in Luke some direction and purpose, because there is no narrative and no story to do that. The passage begins with Jesus in Galilee, which is part of Herod's so-called kingdom, and where power was only an illusion, grounded in ego. The passage ends with Jesus as saying that he will be recognized as the one who comes in the name of the Lord, revealing God's kingdom of power, a kingdom of heaven, where power is real and grounded in love. And then there's Jerusalem, looming large in the middle of it all. The city of political and religious unrest. The city that kills prophets and stones those sent to it. Jesus would be no exception. Yet he was bound and determined to get there. Nothing and no one could stop him. Not Herod, not the Pharisees, not even the knowledge of the fate that awaited him there. What gave Jesus the strength to make that journey? Something happened a few weeks ago that unexpectedly gave me some insight into that question. It happened on a Friday afternoon, right here in Little St. Mary's, and there were a handful of us gathered around the altar table. It was there that I had the privilege of blessing a beautiful baby boy who was being cared for by surrogate parents who were also members of St. Mary's Church. The baby was just 8 days old and so sleepy and cuddly and sweet that I just wanted to keep on holding him, even after the blessing was finished. I didn't want to give him back, but I did, reluctantly. And when I did, I immediately saw how attached the surrogate mother had become to the gift of this child. Yet she and her husband would only be keeping him a few more days before having to turn him over to his adoptive family. Already, I was beginning to feel their sadness, which is why I had to ask how they were able to let go of so precious a child. Every one of them that came into their lives. She said that despite how many times she and her husband had been surrogate parents, it did not get any easier. Their hearts still broke every time they had to say goodbye. Then I asked how they could keep setting themselves up for such pain. What gave them the strength to do that? There was a moment of silence before she quietly answered that question. She said that they both had faith that God was in the planning and the placement of each child. And that's the only way they got through it, time and time again. Of course it was faith. Why did I even have to ask that question? It's always about faith when we're willing to do something out of love that can cause so much pain. It's the same faith, faith in carrying out God's purpose, that gave Jesus the strength and determination to continue his journey to Jerusalem, even if it meant that he would suffer and die there. I don't think faith like that comes easily. I think it takes experiences of love and loss and suffering and healing to break open our hearts and be guided by faith. A faith that allows us to face all fears, to break down all the barriers and attachments, and that free us up to live and love like never before. Isn't that the faith we want when we grow up? Isn't that the faith we want shaping us as we become elders? It's what spiritual writer Joan Chittister wrote about in her book, The Gift of Years. It's faith that God, who created us, who grew us to full stature, is not finished with us yet. He's not done with us and is right beside us, loving and blessing us along the way.